Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude! The playoffs are almost upon us. Congratulations to the Sharks on another Pacific Division banner.
Wow.
That's our fourth in a row, dude.
Oh, that's so great.
Come on, dude.
All right.
Are we feeling salty because the Sharks took a major league drubbing tonight?
Yes, a little bit.
Are we spoiled? Are we spoiled children?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, maybe we should jump right into Tom's email, because he sent us an email after the game, and I appreciate the timeliness of this email. Tom is trying hard not to be reactionary and panicky. However, how many times do the Sharks need to learn they cannot let a potential playoff opponents roll them in the final game of the season, or in the final games of the season?
Right.
Dallas did it in 2008, the Ducks did it in 2009, and we all know what teams sent them packing early. I'm struggling to understand how they couldn't manufacture emotion, as Drew Mender put it, against this team at this time of year. Is two seasons ago too long for these guys to remember? Am I reading too much into these meaningless losses at the end of the year? I think Tom sums up exactly the question that you were trying to propose a minute ago, dude. I mean, is this something that we should get actually worried about? Is this something that we should just say, well, they clinched the Pacific Division title, who cares? The Ducks have something to play for, the Sharks kind of don't.
It's hard not to feel like it's more door number two, you know?
Yeah.
The Ducks have to keep winning, or if they had lost tonight and Dallas wins out or wins two out of three, and the Ducks have, you know, a home and home against LA coming up, right?
I think so.
I mean, the Ducks could have missed. I mean, they could have missed the playoffs. Now I think they're a win away from getting in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot less pressure. So, you know, certainly, you know, they have more to play for, and I don't know. If we play the Ducks in the playoffs, do I expect to beat them? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Do I expect to sweep them? No.
Right.
No. Are we going to win 16 games in a row to win the Stanley Cup? No one does that.
No.
You're going to lose some games. Unfortunately, when the Sharks lose, they really know how to lose.
Yeah. they got that down good.
They go down big. And tonight was fairly ugly early. The penalty kill was probably the most alarming thing tonight.
Yeah.
It had been better, or they had been taking less penalties the last few games. The penalty kill tonight was not good.
Yeah, to me, that's the most... The loss is it sucks, and I'm bummed about it. But the PK, they were 4-for-4 at one point, I think, or 5-for-5 even.
No, they scored four power play goals.
So they were 4-for-4 at one point. I know, and certainly one of those was a 5-on-3, which you're more likely to succeed upon. But still, that's the one thing we talked about. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. We talked about the Sharks PK and how that's not a good sign. This unfortunately is more of a not good sign. Although the Ducks. I think we were talking about this walking home from the most recent game that we went to. Is there a better top line in hockey right now?
I don't think so.
So, and if you look at the Ducks score sheet, they basically have five players that are really good. They have Vishnovsky on D, they have Solani, and they have the top line of Perry, Ryan, and Getzlaff. And it starts getting really, really thin after you get past those five guys. And what does a team with a great top line usually do well? Score on the power play.
All six of their goals had one of those players involved in it.
Right.
All six of them. I would say, you know, one of our goals had one of our star players with Dan Boyle, and the other one was Ben Eager.
Right.
With Desjardins and Mitchell assisting.
Right.
So, you know, are the Sharks a deeper team? Yes.
Without question. Way
deeper. But are the Ducks more talented on the top line?
Yeah.
As of right now, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you
would take Perry, Getzlaff, and Ryan over Thornton, Marlowe, and Heatley.
Or Seto, it's right now.
Or Seto in a 3-on-3 matchup, you would take the Ducks. I think you'd take the Ducks top three over any top three, probably.
I think over the Sedins with Burrows, is it?
Yeah, I still would.
I think I would too.
I think that because they can play you any which way. Mm-hmm. They can fight you with a knife, a gun, a spoon.
Right.
You know, they can come at you any way and seem to come out smelling like a rose in terms of how their line performs. I still don't buy into the rest of their lineup. You know, is Jason Blake really going to be effective in the playoffs?
No.
You know, can Saku Koivu, you know, work magic, you know, for a playoff series against Joe Pavelski night after night? I'll take Joe Pavelski at this point in their careers. Mm-hmm. No question about that. But tonight was a little unsettling, mm-hmm. I would say. We were riding pretty high. It seemed like some folks on different chat boards and on Twitter were throwing a lot of blame on Taro Nitamaki's way tonight, dude. Do you believe that this falls squarely on Nitamaki's shoulders, or is he a product of a poor team effort?
I would definitely go the second option rather than the first. Four power play goals, right? That's right. The problem. You know, one of them being a 5-on-3. That's the problem. The Sharks were basically on the kill the entire
second. That's the problem. That's the problem.
On the entire second period, they were on the kill. Sure, you blame goalies for soft goals. You know, you give up six goals. You got to look at the goalie a little bit. But the fact that the first four of them were on the power play, yeah, that's more of the team's problem than his problem. If he was letting in 60-footers, I might have a problem. But you look at all those goals around the net, it's like Perry just dresses down Douglas Murray, goes across the crease. There's another guy coming through, and Perry makes an awesome backhand roof shot. You know, other ones were like tap-in goals and stuff like that. I mean, how could you honestly blame Nitamaki for those?
It doesn't make you feel any better, but no, I'm going to say it anyways that, you know, even strength, this is a tie game tonight. 2-2.
Yeah.
You know, Sharks don't take four penalties. You know, the one that I really, looking back on it, after it happened, as it's going down, as Brad Winchester goads Douglas Murray into a fight tonight,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going, this is not a good trade-off here at all.
No.
At all. Because now you're getting rid of your most physical and feared defenseman for 5 minutes, and, you know, out goes Brad Winchester, and what happens? They score. Mm-hmm. They scored as soon as Murray, you know, was in the box. They scored like a minute later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that Douglas Murray is going to have to remember. You know, he's going to have to remember in the playoffs, I can't sacrifice myself
for Brad Winchester.
For Brad Winchester.
If it's Getzlaf won that fight,
you take
it.
In the first 10 minutes, like, yeah, that's not going to work. And I think if we do draw the Ducks, we're going to see them take that similar. Of course, George Parros will go after Douglas Murray. And if Parros sits for 5 minutes, that's what he's normally doing anyways, even strength.
Right.
So who cares?
Right.
You know, but you get rid of Douglas Murray, who makes Timo Solani's life a living hell out there when they're together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out there. You know, Solani and Murray, that's not going to end well for Solani every time.
Right.
You know?
I mean, Solani's going to dress him down sometimes because Solani's still got a lot of skill.
Sure, but, you know, Solani's going to be playing a lot more on the perimeter because he's going to be afraid to go anywhere near the net.
Right.
He's going to get sandwiched. He's going to get pasted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a key, you know, looking at tonight going, gosh, you know, Sharks have to be so careful. You know, the penalty kill is definitely a concern, dude. It's definitely a concern. And tonight just made it an even larger wart going into the playoffs, dude.
That's true.
Shall we get to some happy stuff?
I want to just talk about a happy something.
Okay.
In regards to this particular topic. May 6th, 2010. What happened?
May 6th, 2010.
Yep.
The Sharks lost huge in Detroit.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That is correct.
That's
they
right.
lost gigantic.
Wasn't it like 7-1?
7-1.
Wow.
Game 4.
Okay. Yeah. And then they came back the next night.
And they won.
And they won. This happens, dude.
Yes.
Stuff happens.
It happens.
It's not the end of the world. Now, I think what the concern might be, and it would be a valid concern, and I'm going to look at this right now on Patrick Marleau's game log. The year that we got Brian Campbell was 2007.
Mm-hmm.
2000, no, 2000, 2007, 2008. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
So at the end, that was the year that when they got Campbell, they won like 20 out of 22 at the end of the year, right? It was just ridiculous.
They killed it. Yeah.
Just ridiculous. I mean, they won. They went on some sort of torrid win streak. Went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, hooked on Vonix, 11 in a row, plus an overtime loss. They got a point in like 22 games in a row or something crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they lost their last two games at LA and at Dallas. And I think that's what Tom's talking about is... You know,
was that the year they played Calgary?
That
the first
was the
round?
Year they played Calgary and had a hell of a time with the Flames. Remember that going to that dramatic Jeremy Roenick Game 7. And then they go...
They basically ran out of gas against
They ran
Dallas.
Out of gas. They ended... They backed into the playoffs, which I think, if I'm reading Tom's mind, that's what his fear is.
Right.
Is that, are we going to drop these next two games against Phoenix and literally back into the playoffs?
Right. If that's what happens, then Tom, I might be with you with that concern. But the fact is, we've owned Phoenix this year, and I can't imagine, you know, there's plenty of things to look at this game and not be happy about from a coaching perspective. I mean, from a coaching perspective, this is a little bit like manna from heaven, right? You win a bunch of games. It's like, what can you tell the guys to keep them interested? Not a whole lot. And then unfortunately, something like this happens. Well, guess what? Now you have a lot of things to keep them interested.
Right.
And I think Phoenix may bear the brunt of that. I think they could easily win the last two games. And are you going to be mad that the Sharks only won 9 out of 10, their final 10 games, and they should have won 10 out of 10? I mean, that's going to be a pretty hard
For a team that prides themselves on defense, like Phoenix, Sharks have scored 4 goals, 4 goals, 4 goals, and 5 goals against Phoenix in 4 games this year.
Right.
So we're averaging over 4 goals a game against the Coyotes. We're one of the best defensive teams, you know, or at least play a very defensive-minded system.
Right.
So you certainly have to expect that the Sharks are going to be looking to open it up on Friday and then also on Saturday. I'll be pretty disappointed if they don't get a point in each game, you know? I think it's feasible that they might just get 1 point Friday night, but they better get 2 on Saturday. Or I think that that's going to be a sad night at the tank. If they're going into the playoffs on a home loss,
I agree.
Not the kind of, you know, I know you're not a huge believer in momentum and things like that.
But, right.
But as I am, and I'm very holistic. Do you see that I'm drinking my herbal playoff tea in front of you right now?
All right.
My imaginary tea.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But, okay, so let's talk about something a little bit happier, and that would be the two other pastings that the Sharks doled out this past week. One against the LA Kings on Saturday, or the LA Kings on Monday, excuse me, and then one to these very same Ducks only a few games ago. So that's another thing to keep in mind about this Ducks team. This is a Ducks playoff contender. They were a playoff contender on Saturday night too, and the Ducks just beat the crap out of them. So, you know, it's pretty even. I feel like this loss was worse than the Ducks loss on Saturday, but you know, a Ducks fan might have a different perspective. So I can't say that one was definitely worse or not, but I mean, the Sharks, you know, won in a very convincing fashion both nights. How can you blame the Sharks for their efforts on either of those two nights? I mean, they worked the Kings. I mean, they worked them.
But if you're a Kings fan, you know, would you feel better as a Kings fan Monday night or a Sharks fan tonight? You feel better as a Sharks fan tonight, right? I mean, because your team had a large degree of success right before that. I mean, the Kings are
they're in trouble.
You know, it's what in some cultures you put your old people out on a raft and push them out to sea. Like, I sort of feel like that's what their playoff chances are like.
Yeah.
You know, without Kopitar, without Justin Williams, they are, you know,
yeah,
you might treading as well water without floaties.
You might as well get the tee times on like April 20th right now.
Yeah, their chances, they'd have to play completely over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Their best shot at winning a playoff series is if they draw Nashville or Phoenix. You know, I think those are the two teams that the Kings could beat. And they're fairly impotent without, you know, their...
Well, right now it's Nashville.
They're fairly impotent without their main scorers. And, you know, tonight, you know, the Kings beat Phoenix in the shootout. And so they're, you know, they're the 4 seed and Nashville's the 5. and Phoenix is the sixth. So that rematch of Detroit and Phoenix is what's lined up as of right now. And the Sharks are drawing the Anaheim Ducks and that hilarious Vancouver-Chicago matchup,
mm-hmm.
which I think we're all jonesing for. So, dude, you know, I don't think there's a ton to say about these big wins other than I was impressed by how the Sharks came back from being down 2-0 against the Ducks to basically dominate the remainder of the game.
Right. I mean, they made them look pretty silly. I mean, the Ducks were up 2-0 in the first period at the Tank. That's a game that if you're playing for a playoff position, you got to hold on to. You got to find a way to hold on to that game. And the Ducks just basically just completely lost their handle on the game and let the Sharks get away with one. So,
yeah, and it happened even strength. It wasn't like tonight where the Ducks kind of preyed upon the Sharks on the power play. The Sharks scored their first two goals in that game, even strength. Heatley scored in the second, then Marlowe finished it in the second, and then the Sharks took the lead on the power play from Devin Setoguchi and the little extra with Patrick Marleau's empty netter.
Right.
It was an entertaining game, and definitely always when you sort of light up the Ducks, it's fun. Now, maybe the memory that Ducks fans and other people wrote about after that game was the hit by Douglas Murray on Lubomir Vyshnovsky.
Right.
Dude, what was your take on that play? Nothing happened to Murray. No penalty.
No.
No suspension.
No.
But the Ducks were pretty upset about it.
They were.
Vyshnovsky's fine. He's played, you know, since then. He played tonight. What do you think? Much ado about nada?
I can understand, you know, having your guy get railed like that. I mean, Douglas Murray's a big hitter. I don't... The one thing I would have... It seemed like there were sort of two hits. There was the initial contact, and then they sort of slid into the boards, and it looked like there was another contact. If I was a Ducks fan, I would be much more upset about that, the second one, than the first one. I don't buy Randy Carlyle's argument that he charged him. He took five steps toward him. The reason he took five steps toward him was because he had the puck and he was about to shoot, right? So if the rule is you can't take five steps towards a guy with the puck who's about to shoot, then hockey would be a whole lot different game than the one that we saw, you know, these past few years. So, that argument is completely bogus as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, EJ Raddick tweeted that the hit was late. The contact maybe was late by some standards. And, you know, you've seen plenty of hits a lot later than that. I mean, Paris's hit against Vlasic was a lot later than the Murray hit. And, you know, Paris took a 10 because it just, you know, was at the end of the game and all hell sort of broke loose. But the second contact, I can understand. I don't think that was necessary. But overall, it wasn't a huge deal. And I'm glad he wasn't hurt because it would have been a lot worse if he was hurt.
If John Goodman falls on Michael Cera, Michael Cera is going to get hurt. Okay.
That's an excellent analogy.
You know, and unfortunately, no offense, Douglas Murray, which in that game, or I can't remember which game it was Monday night that, you know, Randy Hahn said something like, you know, Douglas Murray, you know, 230 pounds. And, you know, Drew was like, more like 250.
Yeah.
You know, 230. Come on.
Right.
You know, he's more like 250, according to the guys on the broadcast. Now, I mean, I don't know. We're not, you know, we're certainly not in a Pablo Sandoval Weight Watcher situation here.
No.
You know, because Douglas Murray, by all accounts, is like running to a brick wall of muscle.
Right.
But that happens when, you know, we see this happen, you know, with bigger players all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're larger, and sometimes when you have that contact, you're a smaller player, you're going to get hurt.
And Vyshnovsky is definitely one of the smaller defensemen in the NHL. I mean, he's 5'9 or 5'10,
yeah,
and he's probably about 180 pounds. I mean, that is really undersized for a defenseman in this league these days.
If you're going to give the Lollipop Guild a big contract, you better be ready to accept the physical consequences.
Yes, that's true.
Well, shall we move to the LA game? 6-1 win for the Sharks at home.
Yeah.
Everybody joined in on the party. Looked like Joe Thornton might get his 1,000th point. It didn't happen that night, you know. But it was Kyle Wellwood show, yes?
That was another third line show, I was about to say. Yeah, that was another Joe Pavelski, Kyle Wellwood, and Torrey Mitchell show.
Yeah, a lot of depth of scoring, which is, you know, what the Sharks seem to have over, you know, most of the lower seeded teams and potential playoff dance partners,
mm-hmm.
especially the Ducks, is just depth of scoring. And I think in a longer series, that's going to help the Sharks overcome a pesky team like the Ducks, like LA, anyone who they might manage to face. Is there anything else from that LA game that kind of jumps out at you as something that is note and newsworthy, dude?
No. I mean, it's nice, like you said. I mean, it was the third line show, and not that this is any sort of bad streak, but you know, Logan Couture doesn't have any points in the last three games. But you know what? It doesn't even matter because Pavelski takes over. Now, if Perry, Ryan, and Getzlaff go cold, who's going to step up? You know, Brad Winchester?
Yes.
Right.
He's very talented.
Not really. But, I mean, he's obviously talented enough to play in the NHL, which is pretty amazing enough. But still, I mean, the Sharks' depth was again on display. And I certainly remember at least another couple of times during that game where the Pavelski line could have scored. And they had some really amazing scoring chances that didn't go in, even in addition to, I think, the three goals that they were responsible for on the score sheet. So that was another third line domination. I mean, they made LA look really pretty bad. And LA did not have an answer for that.
I think the news of that night was the Ryan Kloh injury.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he blocked a shot. What the injury is, we don't seem to really know.
No.
He did not play tonight in Anaheim, so he saved himself the trouble of probably getting in a fight with George Parros at some point. Unfortunately, Brandon Mashinter got in and actually kind of held his own a little bit in that fight, I thought, for a while.
I don't know if I go that far.
Well, he got a couple pops in there, and then at the end he got clocked a couple times. And,
right.
And unfortunately, it looked like he hit his head on the ice and had quite a gaping, opened wound.
Yeah.
And was going off under his own power, but he's bleeding quite a lot. We don't really have an update on his situation at this time. But Ryan Kloh, I mean, this is a delicate matter, dude.
Yeah.
Do you think that they should just let Kloh rest the rest of the regular season and hang on for the playoffs? Because what's the point of making that, whatever his problem is, worse?
That's true. I mean, without knowing the nature of the injury, it's impossible to say if that's a good idea or not. I mean, if it's a bruise or something that he's going to get over, then you play him. And if
a
it's,
contusion?
Yes. Like, who had the crazy... Oh, Dennis Weidman, right? Didn't he have some sort of...
Oh, he had some sort of...
Like, nasty...
He had, like, a blood... they had to drain his leg.
Oh, my God.
What's that called? That's not called a contusion.
A hematoma?
I don't know.
Well, that's just basically a medical word for a bruise.
I think it was a mote of plasma.
But anyway, it depends on the injury. But yeah, if it's like something with a joint, if it's like a knee sprain or an ankle sprain, yeah, keep him out. But if it's just like, oh, you know, bumps and bruises or like a bad bump or something like that, and he's going to be fine on Saturday, then play him. I mean, I'm sure the fans would love to see him. It's fan appreciation night. They gave away a ton of stuff. You know, he's one of the big reasons why the Sharks are doing as well as they are. And, you know, with Logan Couture, you know, having a lot of Calder buzz, and you see Patrick Marleau coming on strong pretty late here, I think maybe some people have forgotten that Kloh really put the team on his back at certain stretches of the season, and he deserves a lot of credit for how well that they've done.
Right. How about Scott Nichol? There was some buzz that he might play tonight in Anaheim. He did not go. Andrew Desjardins still holding down the fort for Scott Nichol. He's missed 20-plus games in a row now. Do you think Scott Nichol's going to return before the playoffs, dude?
I do, definitely. That's a tune-up situation, I think, for Nichol. It's a completely different situation than Kloh. Nichol needs to get some time under his belt, back on the ice, get the pace back, you know, and players talk about you're never really in that game shape until you play games. You can do as much exercise off the ice as you can possibly do, and it's never quite the same as getting the game shape. So Nichol's going to need it. I would certainly expect him to start both games. You know, the two games, if he's healthy enough, that is. But
right.
If he's able to go, then I would definitely anticipate seeing him in those games. And I would still like to see that fourth line we've been talking about, the Nichol, Eager, and Mayer's line. I mean, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be a welcome sight to see Mr. Nichol on the ice this weekend. We'll certainly be pulling for it. Dude, what else we got?
We got emails, dude.
All right.
We got an email from Matt here.
Matt.
Wait a minute. I just wanted to check one thing. Okay. Here's the email. Matt is a season ticket holder and goes to most games. And for the most part, he's a pretty normal fan at games. However,
According to Matt.
According to Matt. Okay. Right. So we have to take this with a grain of salt. However, the guy in front diagonally, also a season ticket holder, gave me some pretty serious glares last game. Granted that I had my ex-roommate back from the Air Force and spent most of the game chatting him up, but as a season ticket holder, you're allowed some games when you tune out, especially when the Sharks were up 6-0. We still cheered for every goal, but I could feel his eyes burning into me. On the other hand, I'm wondering if I might be a stemmer. I'm a rabid hockey fan and have been since I was roughly 2 years old, watching Hockey Night in Canada on a huge satellite TV. I've been playing hockey for 15 years and have some pretty good knowledge. My question is, at one point does one become a stemmer? Am I secretly a stemmer? Should I duct tape my mouth? Or am I just feeling guilty about winning? And yeah, I got it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you got it.
This is a great question. We should have...
Winning.
We should have a stemmer like litmus test, right? Isn't that what you call it?
I think so.
Like where you, okay.
Winning.
So what would be the qualifications of a stemmer? And you know, Matt, you can answer this at home.
Well,
so.
we had two different issues with those particular seats when we were in them. One was the stemmer and one was from a guy that we called
Junior Stemmer.
No, in that same section. Remember the guy to your left?
Oh, we called him eHarmony.
Yeah, we called him Match.com or eHarmony because he spent the entire game talking about his love life. So, Matt, what you've described seems to be more along the lines of Mr. eHarmony. But you know
Wait,
what?
I think that's worse.
No. I'm okay. I'm about to change. I'm about to talk about this.
Okay.
But Matt's absolutely right. It's one game. He was catching up with a friend. Mr. eHarmony, he talked about that crap every single game he was there.
41 games plus playoffs.
Yeah, and it's like he's sitting there talking about his trips to Paris. He's talking about like, you know, renovating his house. It's like there's a game going on. It's like every single game. He did not take a break. So Matt, I wouldn't worry that you're a stemmer, but a stemmer is something else entirely in my mind. It's not having a conversation with a friend of yours.
Oh, a stemmer is the constant. It's as if you believe that there is a microphone and a listening audience waiting for your commentary on the game.
That's right.
That's a stemmer. That is a...
Exactly, dude.
An open monologue with yourself.
Right.
Not others.
Right.
But yourself about the game.
It's saying things about the game that are not for your own benefit. They're for the general benefit of the human race sitting around you at the game.
So what would be an example of a stemmer comment?
When the puck gets cleared down the ice and you say really loudly, "Icing!"
That is a stemmer example. Yes. Here's another. When Nabokov leaves the net to play the puck, you say, "Nabby, get back in your net.
You say that every time.
All right.
And he clearly wasn't saying that for the benefit of the people he was with. You know, he wasn't making a comment to his friend about the game. He was saying that loud in order for people around him to, I have no idea what.
To know
that he knows what's going on.
That he knows.
Right.
That Nabokov should be in the net.
That's right.
And not outside it.
According to Stemmer, goalies should never play the puck, apparently.
That's right. No, Junior Stemmer believed this.
Oh, that was Junior Stemmer.
Junior Stemmer. Stemmer.
The original Stemmer. The original Stemmer said icing.
There's so many. So I guess the...
Matt, it's time for some soul searching is what we're saying here. Are you making comments loud in order to benefit those around you and to impress upon them the fact that you do have this hockey knowledge? Or are you just having a simple conversation with a friend of yours for one game?
It sounds like, as is the theme of the night, it's door number two. Yeah. I believe that Matt was entitled to have a conversation with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever shot that look at you, it probably was Mike. And Mike is sorry.
I am sorry about that. Actually, you know, just tell the guy to put his headphones back on or to turn him up or something. I mean, he's wearing headphones at the game. Just turn him up, you know?
The guy who looked at Matt was wearing headphones? Probably.
That's what he said.
He said he was wearing
his radio headphones. So, yeah.
Then what is he complaining about?
I have no idea. But no, Matt, I think you're good. I think you're in the clear. And just be careful when you catch yourself making comments. I must admit, I've done it myself. We make comments to each other about certain plays during the game, back and forth. And, you know, once or twice I might have said, did I really say that for Doug's benefit, or am I trying to impress someone with my hockey knowledge? And you know what? I don't think I do that, but, you got to keep an eye on these things because you don't want to turn into a stemmer.
No.
That's the moral of the story.
I'd like to think we have a pretty good handle on that, but you never know. You never know.
I mean, I certainly don't say icing. Let's put it that way. Or I don't say shoot either. Yeah, I don't say shoot.
Yes, that's a big one. That's a big one. Okay, well, Matt, I think you're in the clear, but great question.
I think you're good. Let's see. Do we have one more email? Oh, we have this one.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Sayor. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it, but that's his username. You might have seen some of his comments on the blog. I certainly have. He says, every day I go to dudesonhockey.com just to see if there's anything new posted or if there's any comments regarding any game. Due to the way the page is built, like a blog with no forum, I often don't post unless it's something regarding the actual blog post or as a comment on some other post there. So my question is it possible to make an IRC channel for us to join and talk to some other fellow Sharks fans, or maybe at least add a forum to the page? So I don't know if people know what an IRC forum is anymore.
Can you explain that in English?
Well, IRC was way back in the early days of the tubes of the internets, called Internet Relay Chat, which was like a chat program, a text chat program that you could run and talk to people, usually about really dorky things. I actually somehow, even though my dork credentials are fully verified, I was never an IRC guy ever. But that's not to say that we couldn't make something like that happen on the website. So I'm going to make that the poll question for this week to see if that's something people would take advantage of. Because if I do add like a chat room to the site, which is, I believe, possible, if only like Sayor's in there by himself typing to himself, you know, that would be a little sad.
Well, wouldn't we have to have chat designated times?
Well, I mean,
or would you just pop in there and see like who's hanging out in the Dudes on Hockey chat room?
I mean, you could. I mean, theoretically, it would be up all the time, but I mean,
how about this? What if we had a Dudes on Hockey chat, like during game 3 of the first round of the playoffs?
Okay.
Like, we watch the game, we're going to be in the chat room.
Yeah.
We can all talk.
Or we could even have it running during a taping if we wanted to have people write questions in or something.
Oh, yeah, we could do live questions via the chat room.
Right.
You wouldn't have any clue what our answers would be.
Right.
But you guys could be having a chat while we're taping. And these are just ideas. So I guess we'll make it the poll question, eh?
Yeah. If that's something that people would want to take advantage of, or it's just like, meh, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really going to cost us much either one way or another, but if I'm going to spend all this time trying to implement something like that, I at least want people to use it. So, you know,
we did do a test of it. Was it today or yesterday?
Well, I was trying to get something to work just to see if it would work.
It
and
was
I think
funny. The funny part about the test was when you typed in bad words, it would
bleep them out.
Bleep them out.
I know.
Which was funny. So actually the transcript of our chat was quite amusing.
Yes.
I said many awful things about Corey Perry that were much funnier with the words blocked out.
Than without.
Because you just had to use your imagination.
You had to try them all just to see which ones would get blocked out. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to experiment. So it was important. So anyway, I hope that answers your question. And I'm certainly interested in input from other listeners about if that's something that they would want to take advantage of. Because, you know, I see game day threads. A lot of blogs, popular blogs, have game day threads. And I don't usually participate in them.
No.
Just for whatever reason, I find them difficult to read sometimes. You have people, you have 10 different levels of replies and things like that. Chat room is a little bit more ephemeral. Ooh, is that the word I want?
Wow.
But
don't you call me?
Excuse me, Corey Perry. But it would be something that's a little bit more, lends itself a little bit more to, you know, quick blasts of, you know, just this comment, that comment, and whatever. And I've seen forums do that where you have a forum with like 200 posts and it's just impossible to read them all. Not that anyone would really want to. So maybe the chat room is the way to go. And I don't know of any other site that does a lot of chat room type stuff. So maybe that would be something that people might want to do during a game.
A niche?
Yeah,
could be. A Dudes on Hockey niche. Well, let's make it the poll question and see how many people think they might participate in something like that. And then if we get enough positive responses, then maybe we'll try and make it happen for the playoffs, dude.
Sounds like a good idea, dude.
All right, dude. I am thrilled to announce the championship games in the Fantasy Hockey League.
Aha.
I am also embarrassed to say that the Dudes were eliminated in the first round of all three leagues. And yeah. I'm going to blame it on the alcohol, dude. Okay, the championship game in Dudes League One, the number 7 seed streaking his way to the improbable Sharks page, is in the final against Niami's Bandwagon. That is in Dudes on Hockey League One. And then in Dudes Two, we've got Finns. We've got the number 1 seed Boiler Room Boys matching up against the Double Shifts. in that league. Quite an epic battle. And then in Dudes 3, Hamburgers, Helpers, dude, we've got number 4 seed, the Jerk List, against number 3, Grice Cakes, the team that knocked us out in the first round. So we wish everyone the best of luck. And remember, if you win, then as promised, you get your 5 minutes of fame on the Dudes on Hockey podcast in a podcast to be named later, dude.
Right.
So that will be fun. We'll have you on. You can give us lots of
It may not be fun, but no, we'll have you
what
on.
What do you mean?
Okay. I'm just kidding.
Why wouldn't it be fun?
Well, you never know. You know, there's a wild and woolly internet out there, dude.
They don't have to accept the invitation.
No, they don't. But
And I'll put it to you this way. This isn't live. So
well put, sir.
So if it goes poorly, we can edit it and put in sound effects or do whatever the heck we want.
Well, do it live.
That's right.
Do it live.
We're not going to lose control over a pre-recorded show.
Actually, you're right. I forgot about that.
Dude, as we're running out of time here, predictions, please.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be the Sharks' first round matchup? We've got Chicago and Anaheim tied at 95 points right now, with Anaheim being in the lead at the 7 seed. The Ducks have a home and home against the LA Kings remaining. The Chicago Blackhawks have a home and home against the Detroit Red Wings. And then you've got Phoenix as the 6th seed
against us.
It's so
very possible that Phoenix may not get another point here. I'm certainly hoping for Phoenix over Anaheim at this point.
If it's a 3-way tie,
mm-hmm.
Phoenix drops to the 8.
That's right.
If it's a 3-way tie, Phoenix drops to the 8. So
yeah. I'm going to call. Well, if they drop all the way, yeah, see, you got to look at all these calculations, all these possibilities here. It's actually possible for Nashville to drop as well.
Yeah, but Nashville's remaining games, I believe, are pretty cush. I think they've got Columbus and they've got St. Louis. Now, I mean, I'm not positive, but
well, let's assume that we don't need exactly that information. Okay, so I guess I'm going to just stick with what's already on the scoreboard, even though it's a little weak, but I guess I'm going to have to say we're going to face Anaheim. That's my guess. Dude, what do you think?
I think the way the hockey gods love to torment
that's
probably going to be the way it goes.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Chicago, because that would be even more torture.
I think it's going to be Chicago. I really think they're going to have a hard time getting, you know, although Detroit is not playing well. They lost tonight at Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got worked.
So, by Carolina. God, dude, is it possible that...
That would be the worst draw is Chicago by far, what, I think.
I mean...
Chicago's the worst draw.
Yeah, but they're playing without Bolin. They're playing without Brouwer. They got Sharp back tonight. That would be a horrific draw.
Dude,
You're right.
I look at goal differential, which isn't, you know, bandied around that much in circles. But, you know, it's like you look at the goal differential. The Hawks have the 3rd best goal differential in the West.
Right.
Behind only the Canucks and the Sharks. They're plus 32 in goals, which means they've lost a lot of close games and they've had some blowouts on their plus side. So the funny thing is, you look in the East, it's almost the same thing. The New York Rangers, the number 8 seed, have a better goal differential than the number 1 seed, the Washington Capitals. So how's that for wacky? So anyway,
I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's going to be number 1 is Vancouver, 2 will be us, 3 will be Detroit. The 4 seed I'm going to say is going to be Nashville, which is going to be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
They'll win out. They'll have 101 points. And then after that, dude, I think LA will get at least a point against the Ducks in these last two games. So that will give them 99, and they'll be the 5. And then you've got coming in at the 6 seed, dude, with 98 points is going to be Anaheim. All right. And then I think Phoenix is going to drop down to the 7. I think Phoenix is going to get a point, but they'll end up tied with the Ducks, and we'll end up getting Phoenix in the first round.
Okay.
And the Blackhawks will remain stuck on Vancouver. So the Sharks, it's really in the Sharks' hands.
Mm-hmm.
You got to beat down Phoenix. If you let them get 2 points, then you are asking for the Ducks.
Or you're asking for Chicago.
Yeah, you are.
Neither of which are.
You've got to bury them. Leave your fate in your own hands. You know, make Phoenix have to play you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what could happen here. That's really in their hands, dude.
All righty. Good times, dude. I guess we're probably going to end up posting before the series starts next week.
Yeah, you know, we usually try and get someone associated with the other team to join us as an old playoff preview, so we'll see if we have any luck with that. If anyone wants to talk to us.
Yeah.
So lonely in the blogosphere.
All right. So anyway, we'll talk to you again next week. Talk to you then. Go Sharks.
Go Sharks.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Francisco Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.